We do indeed reverence God who has made this day possible and has blessed us to be here in this sacred space one more time. Certainly, I want to acknowledge with a great deal of love and respect and admiration the wonderfully gifted and anointed man of God who serves as the pastor of this excellent church family, my friend and brother, Pastor Jackson. And why don't you just bless God for your pastor? Amen. Bless you. Amen. 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 Thank God for this wonderful pastor and for 124 years of serving God and doing what God would have you to do in this community and in the world. I do, in fact, bring you greetings from the Convent Avenue Baptist Church, where I am blessed to serve as the pastor, along with the other members of Convent who are here today. We bring you greetings from across the river in the village of Harlem. So, Pastor, we have come over today to bring a Harlem vibe to your celebration today. Amen. We bring a Harlem vibe in the house today, and we thank God for the Spirit of the Lord that's in this place. 124 years is a lot to be thankful for, and we know that God is in the midst of what you're doing. Seems like you've had a high celebration over the last several days, weeks, and months, and we're just honored to be a part of it and thank God for the invitation to come and share. Now, those of you who have your Bibles with you, there is a word from the Lord. If you would turn with me in the Gospel of John, Gospel according to St. John, chapter 15. And I want to begin reading at verse 12, John 15 and 12. John 15 and 12, if you found it, say amen. 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 These are the words that are recorded in the text. It reads as follows. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. Amen. This is the word of God. It's for the people of God. The grass may wither, the flower may fade, heaven and earth may even pass away, but the word of God will stand forever and ever and ever. Amen. Amen. I want to preach about for just a moment this morning, I am a friend of God. Would you repeat that after me? I am a friend of God. Now, would you turn to your neighbor, just smile at him real quick. Just smile at him and just say, I am a friend of God. Amen. And I ask you to cover me and flank me with your prayers this morning. Would you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, Lord, we do thank you and praise you for this day. We thank you for all of the many blessings that you've bestowed upon us, for all of your goodness, grace, and mercy. We thank you for this pastor and people, O God, who are celebrating 124 years of ministry and service. We thank you for the worship experience, how we feel your presence in this house. We've worshiped you in song and in prayer and in praise. And now we come to this moment of preaching and proclamation, and we need you to speak to us. We need your word, O God, because it's your word that guides us, that directs us, that instructs us, that shows us the way that you would have for us to go. So I ask you to take me now, your mouthpiece, your servant, and use me in whatever way you see fit. I ask you, O God, to move self out of the way, to fill me with your Holy Spirit, to let these words of my mouth and meditations of my heart be found acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer, it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. I am a friend of God. Pastor Jackson, brothers and sisters in Christ, the more I talk to people across the length and breadth of this country about church and church life, the more I am convinced that Christianity is often misunderstood and miscommunicated more than we know. You see, too often when we talk to other folk about what it means to be a Christian and a member of a church family, we often leave people with the wrong impression of what being a Christian is really all about. And when the church and Christianity are misrepresented, then people's picture of God and perception of God will be off-center and unbalanced. You see, I'm convinced, Pastor Jackson, that Christianity is a faith that is first and foremost about relationships. Being a Christian and a part of a church family is about being in a loving covenant relationship with an almighty God who loves us and cares for us, and being in a loving covenant relationship with one another in the church whose boundaries are defined by the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why it's so important what you're doing here today and honoring one another and celebrating one another, because relationships in the body of Christ are important. Relationships are at the foundation of our faith. It's what grounds us and keeps us rooted throughout our day-to-day journey and faith walk. Relationship is the base from which everything else in the Christian's life gets built. We can't really be Christian all by ourselves in a vacuum, sitting on our pew and not letting anybody else on our pew. Amen, somebody. We can't be true Christians alone on an island, insulated from everything and everybody else in the community. But without committed relationships, our Christianity is lacking, impotent, feeble, and futile. Can I talk to you this morning? See, most of us who've known the Lord for a while, we'd say, amen, Reverend, you're right, I understand. But ironically, that's not usually how we present Christianity or the church. We have a tendency to present Christianity as if it's all about the rules, regulations, and rituals. You can't say this, can't dress this way, can't do this, can't say this, can't have this, can't do this. We tend to present church membership and church life as if the rules, regulations, and rituals are more important than God himself or God's mission and God's ministry. Can I talk to you this morning? I've had conversations with folk outside of the church that say they like Jesus, they like God, but it's all that man-made stuff in the church that they have a hard time with. And you know what? I can't blame them, Brother Pastor, because I'm not big on all the man-made stuff. I'm set on relationship, because I've walked with God long enough to know that if my relationship with him is right, then any rule, regulation, or ritual I'm a part of will be right also, because it's the relationship, walking in him and talking with him, that makes everything all right. Can I get a witness in here? Somebody knows about that song that said, I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. That's about relationship. It is about the relationship that you have with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is what the gospel is about. That is the gospel that we live and preach and proclaim. That is the gospel that has the power of God unto salvation in it. The gospel of Jesus Christ, Pastor Jackson, heals me on a daily basis. It makes my relationships right like nothing else can. There's nothing like the gospel, and I thank God for the gospel every day of my life. Can I get a 3 or 4 witnesses in here that will testify that you love the gospel of Jesus Christ? This gospel, it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. I feel like preaching today. The devil is in trouble in here. The gospel of Jesus Christ has power. It has power. It has power. It has power. I said this gospel has power. It is mercy to the miserable, grace to the guilty, freedom to the fugitive, salvation to the sinner, counsel to the confused, victory to the victim, and blessings to the burdened. The gospel has power. I said it's got power. And there's nothing like the gospel anywhere. The gospel is accurate, authentic, abiding, assuring, adequate, applicable, and authoritative. The gospel is comforting, complete, correct, conclusive, competent, confident, candid, consoling, and cutting. The gospel is dependable, definite, durable, divine, distinct, decisive, and delightful. The gospel is efficient, eternal, enduring, exact, effective, everlasting, exciting, encouraging, and established. Hallelujah! This gospel is imperishable, irrefutable, infallible, indispensable, indisputable, impartial, important, informative, and inspirational. There's nothing like the gospel. I said there's nothing like it. The gospel of Jesus Christ is good news. Because it tells us that no matter how bad we mess up, God doesn't give up, but he steps up to fix up what we messed up. That's the gospel. I said that's the gospel. The message of the gospel is that Jesus saves to the utmost. He saves from the uttermost to the guttermost. Can I get a witness? So it doesn't matter how far out there you've gotten, how long you've been out there, how far you've fallen, Jesus saves. And because of this gospel of Jesus Christ, Pastor, I believe in all my heart, you're never too broken to be fixed, never too bruised to be healed, never too busted to be renewed, never too empty to be filled, never too lost to be found, never too hurt to be restored, never too depressed to be lifted, never too weak to be strengthened, never too low to get raised, never too down to be delivered, and never too sad to be saved. The gospel can do it. I said it can do it. And I want somebody here today under the sound of my weak voice to know it doesn't matter how far you've fallen. It doesn't matter if you've been knocked out, locked out, pushed out, busted out, smoked out, chased out, ran out, thrown out, voted out, kicked out, or left out. Jesus loves you. And the gospel can save you. And the most important thing for anybody to do is to know him and to work on a relationship with him. When my relationship with him is right, the outside stuff doesn't matter so much. It doesn't dictate my status. When my relationship is right, my faith gets renewed, hope gets reborn, strength gets revived. When my relationship is intact, I can survive any storm, endure any trouble, persevere through any trial, stand up to any challenge, and overcome any obstacle. Can I get a witness? Anybody know what I'm talking about? I might be unqualified, uncouth, unsophisticated, unconnected, and uninformed, but if I know him and the power of his resurrection, I believe that everything is going to be all right. And he'll give me what I need. Can I get a witness? You see, with God, it's not about what you bring to the relationship. It's about what God can do with you through as a result of being in a relationship with him. That's why relationship is so important, because he works in our lives in the context of relationships. Everybody say relationships. Yeah, it's not about the rules, regulations, or rituals. It is the relationships. In fact, I'm concerned that there are a lot of folk in the church of today that don't experience the fullness of the joy of their relationship with God because they let rules get in the way. But I want to experience the fullness of a relationship with God. I want everything that God has for me. I want to see everything he wants to show me, learn everything he wants to teach me. I want my relationship to be full. Oh, yes, brothers and sisters, long before there was Facebook, God specialized in updating our relationship status. Yeah. Long before there was Facebook or the internet. Yeah, because Doc, woven meticulously within the tapestry of this text is Jesus making a statement where he updates our relationship status from servant to friend. In keeping with proper Facebook etiquette, we did not send him a friend request. We were not privy to the process of reaching out through cyberspace to establish a pseudo-social connection with Jesus. No, this is the initiative of Jesus reaching out to you and me and proclaiming us his friends, even when we haven't always been so friendly to him. This is mind-blowing to me, Pastor. When you consider that this mighty, majestic, magnificent God that we serve is God all by himself and doesn't really need any friends, but yet he chooses to have us as friends. He's already awesome, all-powerful, and incredible. He's already King of kings and Lord of lords. He already has the whole world in his hands, and yet he wants me and you to be his friends. Really? He doesn't really need us as friends, but he invites us as friends and wants us as friends. What a blessing it is to be called a friend of God. And how blessed you are to be friends of God for 124 years. What a blessing that Jesus would call us his friends, and how powerful that kind of relationship must be. So who are these people who are friends of God? And what's so special and unique about God's people that they could dare accept the title friend of God? Well, I'm glad you asked. Got a few things to share with you, and then I'll be out of your way. First of all, I believe, Pastor, that friends of God are people who obey Jesus' commandments. We see clearly in the text today, In verse 14, that Jesus says, we are his friends if we do what he commanded us to do. Now, while there are many things in the Bible that Jesus commanded us to do, his primary commandment that sets the context for this passage is found in verse 12, where he says, love one another as I have loved you. This is not just a suggestion or an idea from Jesus. It is a commandment from Jesus that real friends of God love one another. In all of his infinite wisdom, Jesus' first and most prominent commandment in the biblical record is not dress a certain way when you come to church. It is not make sure nobody gets in your seat in the sanctuary. It is not to make sure you follow the Constitution and bylaws to the letter of the law. It is not even for you to make sure that you straighten everybody else out when they don't see things your way. The greatest commandment is that you love one another. And watch this. He didn't say love the church, because y'all do know there's a difference between loving the church and loving people. Y'all don't look at me like that. There's a difference. There are a whole lot of folk that say, I love Mount Olive, I love Mount Olive, I love Mount Olive, and cuss somebody right out on the stairs as soon as they get outside. And they love the church, but loving the church and loving the people in the church is two different things. Jesus said, love one another. There are a whole lot of folk who are in love with the institution, the organization, because that means something to them. But you can't, if you don't love the people, it doesn't mean a thing. Love one another as I have loved you. And don't pick and choose who you're going to love based on your preferences. Friends of God love people without prejudice. Isn't that what 1 Corinthians 13 says to us? Love is patient, kind, does not envy, is not puffed up, doesn't show off, doesn't need to be in the spotlight, doesn't behave ugly, is not easily provoked, rejoices in the truth, loves all things, endures all things. Without love, it doesn't matter how gifted, smart, intelligent, qualified, or important you are or think you are. Without love, it doesn't mean a thing. Preach, Jesse Williams Jr. I'm trying my best. Friends of God have a commitment to obey Jesus' greatest commandment, to love each other as he has loved us. So we don't make up our own standards for what love means. Jesus is the standard. We love people like Jesus loved people. We love people whom other folk might not choose to love. We love the poor, the homeless, the blind, the leper, the sick, the lame, folk caught in sin, the destitute, the oppressed, the excluded, the ostracized. We love them because that's what Jesus did, and that was his mission. We're called to love each other. Even with our shortcomings and faults and imperfections, we're commanded by Jesus to love one another. And if you are a friend of God, you got to have agape love for everybody. Amen, somebody. Because without love, it doesn't mean a thing. Secondly, in the text, I got to hurry on here, but secondly, friends of God are those who receive progressive revelation from Jesus Christ. Progressive revelations, that means that Jesus reveals things in a process. The passage reveals to us that the reason why Jesus calls us friends is because he has made things known to us that he heard from God the Father. He says that servants don't know what the Lord over them is doing. They are not privy to the real agenda and working of the person who is in authority. But because Jesus has begun to reveal his will to the disciples, he said, now I call you friends. Now, Jesus didn't reveal everything all at once, because they were not ready or spiritually mature enough to handle it all at the very beginning of their walk with him. But as they went along, He walked with them and talked with them. And as they were ready, he revealed more to them. Friends of God are people whom God can trust with a deeper level of discernment and revelation about what God is doing in the kingdom, in the church, in the faith, and in his mission in the world. No matter what you think you might see about God, there's always more that is deeper beneath the surface. There's always more that God is working on and doing that we may not understand and may not be aware of. And every now and then, God gives his friends a glimpse behind the veil of daily existential reality so that we can see divine activity at work in a greater way. You see, what doesn't make sense to us in this life always makes sense to God. Our life is always characterized by more questions than answers because we are not God. And as much as we think we know, we never know as much as God. Our ways are not his ways. Our thoughts are not his thoughts. As high as the heaven is above the earth, so are his ways above our ways. And so a friend of God, Pastor, never loses faith because we know that whatever a situation looks like, we've never seen all that God wants to do. God works by giving us progressive revelation. We don't see it all at once. We see God working in bits and pieces, day by day, moment by moment. You ever had that experience that when you were going through it, you couldn't see everything? But now when you look back over your life and see where God brought you from, you can see the handprints and footprints of God all over a given situation and what you're going through. That is God giving you progressive revelation, helping you see it as time goes by. And just because we don't see it all at the beginning doesn't mean that God can't do it, or that he's not already in the process of doing. I've learned in my walk with God that while I'm worrying about stuff, God probably already got it worked out. And I'm still worrying about it, crying about it, and all that kind of stuff. And God, his hand is already fixing it while I'm still worrying about it. Jesus lets his friends see a glimpse and a foretaste every now and then so that we will know that he is still in control, that he has not left us alone to drown in our condition. But God's got more to reveal to you on your journey. Yes, even after 124 years, Pastor, God's got more to reveal in Mount Olive. Can I get a witness? God's still in the process of giving you new mercy, new grace, and new blessings each and every day. Can I get three or four witnesses? He's still working. He still works miracles. He's still in the process of doing something great. And he's going to show you by and by when the time is right. Well, thirdly and finally, I believe that friends of God are people who understand that they have been chosen and ordained. Yeah, it's all right there in the text. You haven't closed your Bible, have you? Jesus says, let me be very clear about this. You didn't choose me. He said, I chose you. Isn't that in your Bible? And I ordained you. We didn't make it happen, brothers and sisters. We didn't do God any favors. God chose us. And there ought to be some folk in here that understand it's only by the grace of God that we're even sitting here in this house today. Can I get a witness? And that if justice and fairness had its way, some of us would be in the cemetery. Some of us would be in the crazy house. Some of us would be out in the street, strung out on this or that. But grace came into our life and covered us. Can I get a witness? We are who we are only by the grace of God. It is not that we're so great or so good or that we got it going on and we're all that and a bag of chips and the dip. It is not that we're so qualified, dignified VIPs that God chose us. It was grace. Can I get a witness? And I think that's the issue with some in the church of today. There are folk in the church that really think they're doing God a favor by being in the church and taking glory for themselves. But friends of God, understand, God didn't have to choose me. Matter of fact, God probably would have been better off without me. But I thank him every day that he looked beyond my faults and saw my needs. And I guess that's why I get so excited in church. And I end up giving him crazy praise that makes folk look at me funny and raise their eyebrows. Because when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Thank God for saving me. Is there anybody here that knows it's a privilege to serve the Lord? And whatever happens, storm clouds rise, strong winds blow, but you know that you know that you know that you know that God will take care of you. Won't he do it? I said, won't he do it? Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Say yeah. Yeah. God will take care of you. God will. He'll take care of you. He's able. I said he's able. He's able. I said he's able. Y'all excuse me now. I'm getting a Harlem feeling over in Hackensack. Because when I think about how good he's been, I can't help it but give him glory and give him honor. I know he's been good. You know, I'll leave you with this. When you want to be somebody's friend on Facebook, you got to send them a friend request. And the first thing you find out is that the person you send it to has three options. They can accept it, they can reject it, or they can ignore it and put it on the back burner. Somebody, y'all know where I'm going already. Come on with me. Come on with me. And that's how it is in Facebook. You might get accepted. You might get rejected. And they might ignore you and put you on the back burner. But there is somebody that when you call upon them, that is able to hear and answer prayer. Do I have a witness? Jesus is on the main line. Tell him what you want. Call him up. Call him up and tell him what you want. I said he's able and he won't turn his back on you. Do I have a witness? Father, I stretch my hand to thee. No other help I know. If thou withdraw thyself from me, oh, whither shall I go? God will receive your friend request. He'll be there late in the midnight hour. Won't he do it? When you're down and out, he'll pick you up. When you're weak, he'll make you strong. Do I have a witness? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount up on wings like an eagle. They'll run and not get weary. They'll walk and not faint. Is there anybody here that will help me lift my Jesus because he's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Am I right about it? He'll be there late in the midnight hour. Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Say yeah! Yeah! Thank you! Thank you for being my friend, Jesus.